The world is changing. And every counterterrorism professional I speak to in the federal government and overseas feels like we are at the doorstep of another 9/11, maybe not something that catastrophic in terms of the visual or the numbers, but that we can see it building and we don't quite know how to stop it.
People should not be walking around with masks.
You're sure of it, because people are...
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Saturday, August 14th, 2021. Thank you for joining me. Let's pretend like I meant to play that face mask clip in the beginning there. they look like the same opening, but it's always relevant to point out that they've lied before. But today is a very focused show. Today we're going to be talking about something I guarantee you have all seen. Everyone's talking about it, but I wanted to make sure we discuss this for one main reason, because this is something that Whitney and I have been talking about from the beginning of this entire COVID-19 event. We have been pointing out the crossover, the constant signals and points that they've been making that this is going to connect. Make it very simple for those that haven't seen the previous work, which I will leave some links. This is part two of the 9/11 beginning, the biosecurity state, which is part two to the security state that started after 9/11, right? The Patriot Act, that's where DHS came from. Let's not forget how this all started. Now we're seeing today that DHS is putting out a terror alert that is doing exactly what we told you was going to happen. Then they've already done a couple of small points where you see the crossover, but today they finally did it. They're making it obvious that they see it as one thing, whether we're talking about foreign bad guys or domestic white supremacist bad guys or January 6th bad guys or Trump bad guys or COVID bad guys. However, they want to just jam it all together and be like they're all terrorists and anything we don't agree with is terrorist activity now. That's what's happening today. In a kind of a facetious, quick way to put it down, but we're going to walk through it today and show you exactly what they're saying. And at the very least, the crossover between some kind of a violent terrorist act and just not agreeing with COVID mandates. That is right on its face, telling you that if you disagree with these mandates, if you don't like masks, if you don't like what they're doing to your country, then you might be a terrorist. And this is no different than what we saw during the security state with foreign terrorists. We saw the same kind of activity. We saw them destroy Afghanistan and Syria and Iraq and many others based on the lies they sold us. And we're doing the same thing today. So we're going to go over that. And I have a few other points after that that are relevant to the larger discussion, which obviously this ties into COVID-19. So we're going to talk about that as well. So to jump right into it, to start off, actually not right there. I hate when I do that. That's the last thing, the end of the show. I want to start off with a quick point that's just kind of hilarious to me because we just talked about this. And it's not that shocking to any of you because you've seen this coming. You've watched the shows. You've discussed it. You've actually seen this circle around in every one of these countries more than once. Oh, we're leaving. Oh, now we have to go back, but they never left to begin with. Oh, we have to send in troops to help the hundreds we have to evacuate. But now, oh, something happened. We have to stay. This just happened after yesterday's show to today, as we were laughing about the 3,000 troops being sent in to help with the evacuation. But they increased the deployment to 5,000 because the Taliban's increasing their role. Okay, so wait a minute. Is it about evacuation or is it about the Taliban? And why would it increase to 5,000 if it's only about evacuation? Why wouldn't you just start with 5,000? Is it because now the Taliban's more of a threat? And you see how this is already going to go in the direction you know it's going to go in. Those people, whether some go or let, that's not going anywhere. Contractors, the occupation, they've already admitted this. They remember the beginning when they were ending the forever wars forever? Nope, not even close. And they've already admitted they're not taking everyone home. Just like Trump, just like Biden, just like Obama, they're all the same thing, guys. And it's time for us to realize that until we stop it, it's not going to stop. Now, I want to start with a clip here in another kind of point back to yesterday's show in regard to natural immunity. This was on Fox. Now, I want to point something very clear out about this the truth in this clip, but also how Fox News plays a different game here, where they also, again, because you don't forget, Fox News is adamant pro-vaccine right now. They are adamantly pushing the concept that everyone should be vaccinated all over the place on all these shows, maybe save for Tucker. What was interesting is within this discussion, they clearly keep that line going, even as they point out natural immunity. So I want to point this out for two reasons, to show you that even within the mainstream media, it's very obvious that natural immunity is something that we can all see that somebody's, they're blatantly ignoring, they being the ruling factions and the captured agencies, the NIH, the CDC, right? Which if you still think of those two things in a two-party paradigm perspective, you're still lost, because that's not how these things operate. But watch how they describe this, showing you that, yes, this is a real topic, but also keep the idea going that, well, the vaccine works for everybody. But that doesn't seem to add up with when you look at the full picture. So let's take a listen to this real quick, and you'll see what I mean, how this relates to everything.
Collins went on the record claiming vaccinated immunity is better than natural immunity.
And yeah, that was the third point, actually. And this is Collins, the director of the NIH, right? Who is still the person who's above Dr. Fauci, who still is involved in these choices, not intimately involved with every choice made at NIH, but still the boss and still accountable for everything under, because NIH is under NIH. The same way that all that's under HHS and all that's under the president, guys. We have to see how this all comes together, whether it was Trump or Obama or Biden. They're all a part of this. Now, what they're going to talk about here is the idea that they, Collins, despite all the things we've shown you, including the studies from the NIH, from the WHO, from Nature, from just about every reputable place you can point to, the Lancet, all telling you that natural immunity is lasting and robust. And at best, we can point to 6 months in regard to how long this will last from the injection. I don't even take that at face value. But he gets on and points to one limited study from one location in the country, ignoring all the peer-reviewed science, including from the NIH, and sells you with that. This is better. It means the vaccinator 2.2 times safer. He'll explain it. It just blows me away that they push this despite everything. If you'd like to know about more of the natural immunity discussion, we talked about this yesterday, as well as many other discussions. But I go over all the links. You watch it for yourself. Now, let's finish the clip.
Does he have the science?
There was a study published by CDC just 10 days ago in Kentucky, and they looked specifically at people who had had natural infection and people who'd been vaccinated and then ended up getting infected again. So what was the...
Oh, you mean like the other 45 studies we've shown on that topic? Right. But he likes to point this new selected smaller one from Kentucky instead of the nationwide or even worldwide studies we've shown you in regard to that topic. Why would that be? Let's not pretend like he doesn't realize that's ridiculous. That's a dishonest act. That's a conscious choice to mislead you with specific data. That's what these people are.
The protection level, it was more than twofold better from the people who had the vaccine in terms of protection than people who'd had the natural infection. That's very clear in that Kentucky study.
Ah, yeah, very clear in that Kentucky study, right? What about all the other studies that show you the all the states and all the country, right? Obviously, he's even saying that to make sure he kind of gives himself an out.
But Fox News medical contributor, Dr. Marty McGarry, says that's not the case.
Who, by the way, is, you know, he's Johns Hopkins surgeon, just so we're clear on that. Of course, anybody who's lost in the two-party paradigm will see him on Fox and be like, oh, he's a Republican, so he must be fake news conspiracy theorist, just because we're child, you know, if you're lost in that two-party illusion, you're still lost is the point. Right, to just dismiss data because you don't like where they're saying it from is childish. And I even think that they know that. They just don't care on both sides, left and right.
Claiming the study Collins was referring to was misinterpreted. Dr. Marty McGarry joins us now. Doctor, thank you so much for serving this audience throughout the pandemic. You have been consistent. You have said when the science was wrong, when it was right. So we appreciate you. So,
by the way, sorry to keep cutting in. He also was the one that misrepresented or intentionally or misinterpreted the Israeli study that talked about 6.72 times more likely to catch it, where he actually said it was, I forget which way he misframed it. We pointed out on the show, it was either that it was, you had a more, 6.72 times of a higher chance to be more sick, or however he framed it was actually incorrect. And we showed you right on the show, and plenty of other doctors pointed this out. So just to be clear, either he's fallible like anybody, or he was doing what I kind of think they're doing here, which is misleading you with some truth, which is what this is, which is what all of the most important misrepresented, like this is what I think the InfoWars scenario is all about. They've been right about a lot of stuff. but they've also been very careful to mislead you in very important ways when it really matters, because I think that's what their job is. But I'm trying to upset some people out there. I'm not going to stray away from pointing out what I think InfoWars is, even more so now that they stole my work and still have yet to replay. Like, I don't even want to get into that, but that article, if you want to look back at it, all they did was remove the video. They're still using my content, my research, my image, and just took the video out. Why wouldn't they put my video back in anyway? Because it's not about the truth, guys. It's about taking it for themselves. Anyway, I don't like InfoWars, can you tell? Because they're dishonest.
Separate fact and fiction from what the doctor just said right there.
Well, Lawrence, I have tremendous respect for Dr. Collins. He served this country well. But, you know, there are 14 studies that show that natural immunity is effective. It's durable.
There's far more than that, by the way, and you've seen it on the show.
And it's going strong. And yet there's been this inexplicable denial of it. And after a lot of public pressure now from our public health leaders to talk about natural immunity, they come up with this study that they essentially jerry-rigged in Kentucky, showing that maybe it was 2.3 times higher among those with previous infection, that is the natural immunity group, than getting those who are vaccinated. Well, guess what? The rate of getting a subsequent infection in those with natural immunity was 0.09%. And those who were vaccinated in that time period, it was 0.03%. The conclusion is it's extremely rare in both groups. Not that it's...
You see, now that's not actually... I mean, okay, so I'll be fair to him here, because you could take what he's saying as their conclusion, not that that is the fact. Because I don't think... And this is what I keep saying, even in regard to the engagement with Aaron yesterday. It's not, I'm not saying the data that we can see very clearly challenges the idea that they're just lessening hospitalizations and deaths. That's not what Israel, Malta, Gibraltar, Iceland, or any of the places that are showing us the vax versus unvax data is showing us. Even in the United States, the limited views we can get don't show you that. All we get is the forceful statements by authority figures that that is the case. And then I show you the data that I find, and it's limited based on 35 states. And, you know, it's obvious that it's a misrepresentation. But so what he's saying here is that the data shows you that it's actually in what I keep telling you, it would boil down to not statistically significant. 0.003 versus 0.009. And the concept that what he's saying is it shows you that both are very rare. So to make it seem like they're two times safer is a very dishonest way to frame that when it's not really statistically significant, which any scientist would know. But I don't think that's what the data actually shows you, unless you take a very selective view, as he is going to point out next, from Kentucky, and make that what you want to show. And I'm really glad they pointed this out, because everything else aside, I actually find this next part to be the most important. This is also something we've called p-hacking. What he's going to call it is phishing, and a specific idea in regard to how they kind of shuffle up the states. But p-hacking is how scientists can sort of roll out the data over and over until it kind of ends up in a way that serves what they think they can use it for. And if your immediate response is they would never do that, then you're lost in the world of scientism right now, because it's a classic concept. I mean, here, I'm talking about it enough that I might as well grab it. It's an older article from an old writer we used to have, and the concept is, it's called p-hacking. It's very important to understand, because this is how science can be manipulated. It doesn't mean that all science is manipulated, or that every scientist is a manipulator, but what it means is it's so common that it has a name. How institutionalized science can be fabricated. I mean, there's quotes from, there's plenty of people in here commenting on why this is a concern. And why is it a concern? Not because scientists are just out there to lie. I mean, anybody could be a liar, but it's the system that's driving them to do this, because they can't be a successful scientist unless they have governments willing to fund what they're doing. Right? There's no altruistic science in my mind out there that doesn't have some backhanded government or military purpose. That's because that's how the system works today. The same reason that we don't have all these groups out there actually trying to fight for you and help the children, help the people, because it's all a profit motive. I'm going to play a clip today from a girl that's from a nursing home scenario that tells you that. It's all about the money. They don't care about these people. So just bottom line is, remember, this is a very real thing that's very... Let's just say it's common. My gut is it's far, far, far more, if not all encompassing than common, far more than common, if not all encompassing.
Higher among those with natural immunity by 2.3 fold. They never said what these 234 people who got infected, whether or not they had symptoms out of the over 250,000 people with natural immunity. And why did they pick Kentucky? They've got data on all 50 states.
Exactly.
They only reported Kentucky because they were using a statistical method called phishing, where you run the data on all 50 states, and the one state that gives you the signal that's consistent with what you want to say is the state you report out.
Right. And you know who also does that? Fox News. All the time. Right. So let's not pretend this is partisan in any way, shape, or form. The mainstream media does this, and they're happy to point it out when the other side does it and be like, look at them doing that thing that we do every day, because it's easy to get a win that point. You know, then you get all the shares from all the partisan pundits out there that will ignore it on their side and point it out on the other. You know, and this is how this goes. It's a teeter totter. It goes back and forth. When in reality, it's constantly happening on all sides. Both sides are cheating in the elections. Both sides are lying to you about politics. Both sides, all of them, really, the one side, the one thing, the government, are constantly misleading you. But it's interesting to see how obvious we know these things when you're pointing at the other side, right? It's just funny how that works. They're all deceiving you. Now, remember, this is a great discussion with the links are what's important. As always, I will always add all the links after the show. But I include a whole bunch of links from the all of the groups which you're listening to. They tell you, not, you know, Nature, WHO, The Lancet, all these groups that they're telling you are the ones to listen to, and they're not listening to them. Which brings us to the DHS discussion. Now, this is we'll actually go through the bulletin itself. This is exactly what we told you was going to happen. And I've been saying that quite a bit lately, because it's just like, I'm just baffled about how I was just like almost joking about this with somebody. I've never been the one to be like, look at me, I did this and I was right. And we're, you know, just, I feel like that's kind of in bad taste. But today I'm like, if you really take a minute and stand back and look at our track record from COVID-19 forward, it's uncanny. And I'm not the only one, by the way. Plenty of us have been right on the pulse of this. Plenty of us. And you could probably think of four other people right now, five other people, plenty of us out there that have been constantly calling this out. And it's not because we're psychic. It's not because anything other than the fact that we are students of this kind of thing, or I guess students of government, students of government manipulation, right? We watch this stuff. And now as it begins, we watch it, we go, well, here's probably what's going to happen. And what do you know? The same way we can go, look, I bet you there's a false flag about to happen in Iraq. Doesn't mean I know it's going to happen. But then when it happens, you go, yeah, I thought so. Because all the signals were there. They were putting the same things out. They were pointing out that were government shooting at protesters. Uh-oh, right? Oh, well, there's a signal. There's a red flag. The point is, guys, this is exactly where we knew we would end up. Where now we're crossing over from COVID-19 into white supremacy, into terrorism, into anything that makes anybody that's going against the Great Reset, the building of this technocratic future on the guise of a COVID-19 scare threat, is a terrorist. And you realize that goes all the way to the point to where, okay, now you just don't want to be on lockdown. Now you're suspicious. Now you might be a terrorist because, well, you might act out. Because you feel like you've been wronged, even though you are being wronged, right? So you see, the idea is it's going to come full circle where the actual grievances we have, which is literally a term they use in this document, are leading you to act out because of your grievance. Is it wrong? Like, are you in the wrong? That doesn't even matter. You are angry at the government. You disagree with their policies. You just are anti-government in general. Hey, look at me. You're a terrorist. Right. The point is, just like you aren't allowed to say no to the shot, the COVID-19 injection. It's not your choice as much as they try to pretend it's a choice. You also don't have a choice about these other discussions. Right. If you have an opinion about the government that doesn't align with what they want, you're a bad guy. Oh, but I thought we had the right to think in a free country and we can make it. Of course you do, but not right there or over there or right there. Or you can't say those things or think this or look that way. But you're free, though. You're totally free. Okay, I've rambled on enough. Let's watch this clip, 41 seconds, and then we'll go over the document itself. And this is, it's going to make you laugh out loud. It's just like the clip we showed. I might actually pause it when they show that because I want to talk about the bullet points they have. Pretty crazy. Let's see. I thought, yeah, I did. Here it is.
Terror alert has been issued by Homeland Security tonight. Pete Williams is here. Pete, what do we know about this?
Well, DHS says this new terrorism advisory is not based on any actual threats or plots, but it says there's a...
Yeah, you heard that right. And what's funny about this right out of the gate is we have this typical thing around 9/11 where they like to scaremonger and, you know, they might be doing it again this year, so we're on a high-level threat. Oh, yeah, there's nothing to suggest that whatsoever, aside from our constant pointing to other things around the world. But, or the fact that, you know, look, our invading and destroying these countries, that might cause them to attack us because they're bad guys. Wait, didn't you just say our invade? Yeah, you see, it's always in the other way. It's their bad guy fault. But nothing to suggest this is the case. So why are you reporting it exactly? Oh, because they want it in your consciousness. They want you to think something might be happening. So just listen to what he says again. I mean, if there's nothing to suggest it might be happening, all this means is the government is concerned for some reason, probably because they recognize that people in this country are not very happy with them right now. And they use this kind of thing, violent acts and emotional ploys to get you to, you know, to sway people's opinions into a certain direction.
Should my home know about this?
Well, DHS says this new terrorism advisory is not based on any actual threats or plots, but it says there's a rise in anti-government rhetoric.
Right. So because the people of this country are overtly just, I mean, with there's no question the American people are unhappy with their government and have been for a long time, way before all of this. So a rise in anti-government sentiment is enough to put out a terrorism alert. And why does that have to do with 9/11? Well, why not? It's perfect, right? Because they want you to think about terrorist attacks. They want to try to make anti-vaxxers and Trump supporters out to be terrorists. So let's just roll it out at 9/11. It's perfect. Didn't Trump mention something about a new 9/11? He did during his administration. He says what we need is a new event or something to coalesce the country like a 9/11. Yeah, exactly. The same thing they talked about before 9/11 happened. They called it a new Pearl Harbor-like event. And there we go. What do you know? It happened right out. It's interesting how these things happen. You could call COVID-19 that if you thought that would actually fit the bill. But I think that's what we're pointing to right here. So no evidence whatsoever. But your opinion is why they're putting out a terrorism alert. Just make sure that's very clear. Your opinion, Americans, is why they're concerned, not something outside. A rise in anti-government sentiment, a rise in American opinions is why we're putting out a terrorism alert about bad foreign countries attacking us. Right, because that totally lines up, right? I hope we're clear that you are the terrorist. You are the problem. You are the reason they're concerned. That's why this came out, because you have a rise in anti-government sentiment.
Some of it is opposition to COVID public health rules like mask and vaccine measures. Some calls for violent action are based on claims of election fraud or a belief that Donald Trump can be reinstated. And DHS says the coming 20th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks and religious holidays later this year could be catalysts for violence. The last of the 9/11 attacks.
Okay, I want to talk about this for a second, just so we're... This is the important graphic, okay? So this, in one sitting, brings together the idea that you're a potential terrorist if you have... if you're opposed to COVID measures. I mean, there's no way to, like, split hairs here. This is... they're saying potential terror threats come from people who are opposed to COVID measures. So, oh, that you mean like that mask mandate discussion where they were coming for you, right? Oh, well, that seems perfectly timed right before this comes out. Gee, I wonder why that guy from Fox was there. And I wonder why that was perfectly coordinated and why that became national news. It's almost like they wanted some kind of a rising moment where all of a sudden you got the people who are against COVID that are going, we're coming after you. And then next day, oh, somebody was attacked. What do you know? Is it even real? Did it even happen? Who cares? This is how these things go. And if you believe that they haven't done stuff just like this, then you're simply not paying attention. Verifiably, they have faked events, they have faked attacks, they have faked terror events. The FBI has been caught for this, but who cares, right? Claims of election fraud. Okay, here we go. Now we're talking about Trump supporters, right? Let's not, and I mean, look, I can't even believe they literally wrote, believe Trump can be reinstated. They're not even trying to hide what they're doing here. So a person can believe that Trump might be reelected and suddenly that makes them a terrorist. Like, if we're still pretending that January 6th was anything other than a clumsy event to try to lead to this event, then you're lying to yourself. Now, I'm not saying that there weren't people there that were trying to enact, they were trying to cause harm, trying to do bad things. But by and large, that event was not even remotely close to what they're trying to make it out to be. Derek and I have actually had an interesting conversation about this, because we also think that there's a dangerous effort to kind of undermine the severity of some of the things that did happen there. But that's in no way to argue that it was what they're trying to make it out to be, an insurrection. I mean, come on, guys, this is insulting to our intelligence, and we can see it. But that doesn't mean that there wasn't people that did things that should be crimes, right? I mean, in general, people that did things that were violent acts that should be held accountable. But also, how about the police that would shoot people without, I mean, there's a lot of things that went both ways, or the police that let people through the gates without any accountability for how that affected the entire event, or the fact that they called for backup like four times and all those times they said no. I mean, there's obvious reasons that this happened, but to make it out to be what they make it out to be is just a joke. And now it's leading to here, sort of like how they have a bunch of like rugged police officers stand up there and like fake cry and pretend like they were upset because people called them names and they had to do their job. Like, I'm not trying to undermine how hard that job can be and how dangerous that job can be. Trust me, I've known my family, my grandfather, my uncle, my brother for a period of time. These people, they were cops. They understand the bad and the good, and that's why they're no longer cops. But the point here is that when they saw that, they thought it was ridiculous. What about all the police officers that are at the Black Lives Matter protest, getting hit with things, getting thrown, I mean, there's all sorts of things that are happening, being called names. We've seen the videos. Those are crazy rough. Are they crying and wandering around going, oh my God, my feelings were hurt? No, because to do that in front of their other cops would make them look ridiculous. Now, you can pretend that's masculine and grow, well, whatever. That's the way it is. Trust me, I know. But to make that out to be real is just insulting. Anyway, I'm going off on a tangent. The point is, we're combining the concept of claims of election fraud with the idea of COVID measures as terror threats. Election fraud is verifiable from this year and all the ones before it. This year, the last election, the ones before it. Then we say 9/11 anniversary and religious holidays. Now, why this is important is because this is always what they do. Every single 9/11, this comes up. So just so we're clear, the threat itself is not really rare or new or different. It's the inclusion of COVID measures and the election discussion that makes it relevant. But every year they go, oh, 9/11, religious holidays, they may want to attack your freedom, which is just silly because it's never happened that way other than 9/11, which we should know by now is not even remotely close to what we were told it was. Not to go off on that tangent, but we'll be doing more on that coming up to the anniversary, both on Super U. And I know Corbett's doing stuff. I know that we were possibly going to get David Meiswinkle on, lawyers for 9/11 inquiry, you know, just to show you the facts once again that they're keeping from your view about the, you know, Alaska study that proved that it's literally impossible that for the building to fall the way it did without simultaneous explosions at all these certain points. This is all verifiable information that nobody wants to talk about because they need 9/11 to build into the biosecurity state. So now we can see that they're bringing this all together. Your opposition to COVID measures is just as much of a terror threat to them as a Trump supporter who believes that they need to overthrow the government or any other things they're trying to kind of dump into this. Now, this then ties back to foreign stuff, as you're going to hear them talk about, because what they're trying to paint in regard to in the Trump scenario is, well, remember, the white supremacists are working with Al-Qaeda and Iran, because that's just not stupid at all. Right. So the white supremacists, whose entire mentality is about white supremacy, are working with the antithesis of what their belief system is. And vice versa, Al-Qaeda and Iran, well, Al-Qaeda specifically, who is like the opposite of that scenario, working in the other direction, who are talking about, again, just to make it clear, working with the antithesis of their belief system. So yet they're going to work together because they just can't stand our freedom that we clearly don't have. Right. Exactly. So you're lumping together the idea of Trump supporters with white supremacists, the idea of white supremacists with foreign actors, and then all of that lumping in with COVID measures. Now, how do you see that connecting? Don't forget, we've talked about this. We've already seen them go, uh-oh, they may start attacking vaccine infrastructure. They may start attacking vaccine plants. Next thing you know, one of these batches starts killing everyone that takes it. Oh, that was a terrorist attack. It must have been a cyber attack or something. Even the cyber part of this, remember, cyber pandemic. So this could end up being some kind of a foreign attack, a cyber attack, which tied with some Trump supporters and they attacked the vaccine infrastructure, right? It's not hard to see how all of this easily lumps in to anybody against what they're doing right now. Anybody, in any way, the election, the Trump support. I mean, it's quite obvious to me. Now let's keep listening to the rest of it.
attacks and religious holidays later this year could be catalysts for violence. The last terror advisory was issued in May. It expired today. This new one says domestic extremism remains a threat priority, Lester.
All right.
Domestic extremism. Like, there's not even trying to hide this. The idea that we're talking about some kind of a foreign attack, yet from the beginning to the end, we're talking about anti-government sentiment in our country and domestic terrorism threats. That's the beginning and the end. So where is the foreign actor even come into play? Oh, that's right. Vanilla ISIS, a term they've actually coined. The idea that the white supremacist Trump supporters are working with the ISIS and they're going to attack our country from within. Of course, because that perfectly makes sense. It's just, I can't even take this seriously, but I know a lot of people are. That's why it's quite alarming to me. Now, going back to our clips or our links here, let's go over the actual advisory, and this is where it gets really interesting. This is the important part. This was released yesterday, August 13th. Summary of terrorism threat to the U.S. homeland. I want to reiterate again, the Department of Homeland Security didn't exist before 9/11. And now they are basically the crux of this whole biosecurity state issue, at least in the regard to tying in the foreign aspect, the white supremacy aspect, the Trump's aspect to the COVID aspect. Now it says the Secretary of Homeland Security has issued a new national terrorism system bulletin, terrorism advisory system bulletin, NTAS, regarding the current heightened threat environment across the United States. Now, what's interesting, too, to think about is, is there a heightened threat environment? I mean, it could be. I'm sure a lot of people think that. But if you hadn't heard them say this, would you feel that way? So all it needs to make you ask, just like with COVID and everything else, you can ask yourself if this is actually the case, or is this just what they're telling you is the case? And if all you care about is what they say, then you don't care about the truth, because they've been caught lying. They've been wrong more times than we can count. So I just find that interesting point, a heightened threat environment. Like, I'd like to find anybody who actually recognizes and feels that outside of them telling you that's what's happening. Now, it says the homeland continues to face a diverse and challenging threat environment leading up to and following the 20th anniversary of September 11th, 2001 attacks, as well religious holidays. Dang it. I make typos too, but I just think it's funny when the, most powerful country on the, it's like, shouldn't they have like 35 fact checkers and 100,000 editors and still miss stuff? Just funny. Making sure I didn't make, and following the 20th anniversary of September 11, 2001 attacks, as well religious holidays. Yep. As well as religious holidays, we assess am I missing that? It doesn't matter. Could serve as a catalyst for acts of targeted violence. These threats include those posed by domestic terrorists. You. Just Americans. That's what that means. And you know who gets listed under this? People who are constitutionalists, people who believe, a little too much in the Constitution, the founding document of our country. Ask yourself how that makes sense. That's a fact, by the way. Militias who are actually also enshrined in the Constitution, but they're literally on watch lists about this. Right? It just shows you that, who are the ones who are going away from what we believe this country is? Is it the supposed domestic terrorists, or is it the government who is making people who believe in the foundational concepts of this country domestic terrorists? Now, it doesn't mean that there aren't people that have those beliefs that you could actually see as someone who would commit a terrorist act, right? We have to remember, it's not all encompassing. It's not there are or they aren't. It's simply that this is a misrepresentation of what's really happening. And it says individuals and groups engaged in, and this is my point before, grievance-based violence. Now, you realize that can apply to like anything we're talking about. People who feel that they're somebody, a family member died after the injection, they would call that fake news. Or somebody who's being forced to wear masks and it's hurting their child. Or somebody who lost their entire business because of a lockdown. These are people that they would argue, let's say it's a Trump supporter who lost their business. They would say, well, he believes in fake news conspiracy theories and COVID-19 destroyed his business. No, the government did, but you see where this is going. And he has a grievance with that, and he acted out in violence. That's a grievance-based violence. That is grievance-based violence. And those inspired or motivated by foreign terrorists. Okay, so you see that they're not saying foreign terrorist attacks. We're completely away from that. We're talking about domestic terrorists or these grievance-based violent acts that are inspired or motivated by foreign terrorists. and other malign and foreign influences. Right. So this is just an easy way to just kind of rope in Iran or whoever else they want to blame for whatever happens. And I mean, they don't need to show evidence for anything else they say about Iran. So why would it matter? All they have to say is that there's just some weird act connection from some FBI plant that we'll never find out until 20 years from now. That is Iran tied to the white supremacist Trump camp that was at January 6th. And all of a sudden it all comes together. Wasn't terrorists from outside, but they was inspired and motivated by them. Now it says these actors are increasingly exploiting online forums. Just another way to try to make the argument that we need to control, that they need to control all internet activity. Otherwise, bad guys could talk and do bad things. They treat you like we're in kindergarten. Such threats are also exacerbated by impacts on the ongoing global pandemic. Right? First paragraph, including grievances over public health safety measures and perceived government restrictions. This is, talk about Orwellian. This is writing out what you want the reality to be. This is completely disconnected from reality. So somebody who basically, so it's saying threats are exacerbated by impacts of the ongoing pandemic, right? So what they mean is not, you know, that COVID-19 somehow magically destroyed your business, but, you know, the impacts of what they did. So the lockdown destroyed your business, right? The mask mandate hurt your son, whatever. These are impacts that are exacerbated by what is going on. And it says, including your grievances over these measures, how you feel about them, or perceived restrictions. So not that we are restricting everything you're doing or making you pass sign or have a documentation to get on the bus. No, but just how you perceive those to be bad. Because you're wrong, by the way. And shut up about it. Right? That is the thanks, government. Because clearly they care about you. And clearly they're the living embodiment of your constituency. Right. Obviously. No, they're handing down mandates of how your life is going to go. Get ready for the next 50 years of the Great Reset and, you know, 2030, and you owe nothing and you've never been happier. It says additional details. Through the remainder of 2021, racially or ethnically motivated violent extremists, or, you know, handy dandy RMVEs, you know, because it's so common, and anti-government and anti-authority violent extremists. Where did this even come from? Anti-government, anti-authority, violent extremists? So what are we talking about? Like, so why can't we just call them all criminals? You see? Well, aren't they all just criminals? Well, of course they are. But they need to make special fancy titles for each different category to use them politically in the way they see fit. Right. So couldn't you also call somebody who is racially motivated to make violent acts somebody who's also probably anti-government, anti-authority? Of course you could. But you see, what they're doing is making different categories because they want to make people like me, people who are anti-government. I would absolutely say I'm anti-government. 100%. I do not believe that governments in general are the best thing for people and society. But that does not mean that I'm going to act out violently because, by the way, and that's the reason I do that. I am adamantly against the concept of violence. I believe violence begets violence. But you see, they'll clip that part out and just show where I'm going, government, anti-government, and say, oh, he's violent. Because that's what happens. But the point is that you're allowed to think things that you bad about the government. You're allowed to think that authority shouldn't be telling you what to do because we're supposed to be in a free country, right? You're supposed to have inalienable rights. Clearly, they don't believe that because having that opinion is now making you a suspect. You're now on a list. They're watching because they think you could be dangerous. You know what this is? It's like everything else we talked about, the continuity of government from Reagan's administration forward, telling us that they have a list of dissidents that they think are dangerous, not because they commit crimes, but because they say things the government doesn't like. If you were ever confused about what we actually live under, this is telling you the truth. There are opinions that aren't allowed to be espoused or thought or had or espoused. You're just not allowed to think this way. And it says they will remain a national threat priority for the United States. These extremists may seek to exploit the emergence of COVID-19 variants by viewing the potential reestablishment of public health restrictions across the United States as a rationale to conduct attacks. God, I mean, this is just laying the groundwork for exactly what we would predict as a possible false flag event. I mean, literally, if you have somebody attack some kind of a vaccine infrastructure scenario, or, I mean, what are they saying? The reestablishment of health restrictions? How do you exactly attack the reestablishment of lockdown? You see what I mean? It's just opaque and completely undefined. But because exploiting the emergence of the variants, how does that even make sense? So you cannot resist this in any meaningful way unless you want to become a terrorist. You want to go out there and protest against these lockdowns? You're now a terrorist. Pandemic-related stressors have contributed to increased societal strains and tensions, driving several plots by domestic violent extremists, such as, and they may contribute to more violence this year. Okay, anybody want to point out for me where these pandemic-related stressors that have led to actual domestic violent acts are? I mean, what are we talking about here? I mean, of course, we're just going to state that we've had them and there's plenty and there'll be more this year. Are we pretending there were already COVID-19 related terrorist attacks? I mean, good God, let's just lay the lies down before we even get there. And of course, let's not forget the anniversary of 9/11 attacks on Al-Qaeda. You mean that group that the U.S. government is basically openly working with all around the world? Yeah, that same thing. And they're working openly with them, but we're going to celebrate the anniversary of the day they attacked our freedom, and we're going to work with them in Yemen and work with them in Iraq and work with them in Syria, work with them everywhere else. But they're bad guys and we're attacking them. Hey, Taliban, you want to make a deal? Oh, not now. Now we're bad guys again. But let's just keep slapping up their garbage narrative, just like the 9/11 report. Just take it at face value because we like the government. I don't understand how people cannot see this as childish as it is with everything that's easy to look at. I'm not talking about some fringe website with claims. I'm talking about cables from the State Department, cables or WikiLeaks reports that will clearly show you that from the Clinton administration and in plenty of other places, they were adamantly involved with the creation of these groups and still to this day, funding, arming, relocating. But who cares? Because fake news. Going forward, the reopening of institutions, including schools. That's interesting, isn't it? As well as several dates of religious significance over the next few months could also provide increased targets of opportunity for violence, though there are currently no credible or imminent threats. Okay, what about, you know, the opening of a new building next to my house? How about the opening of a new Walmart, right? Any of these things would apply. Why are they just picking these out? Because the idea of reopening schools is a politically contentious topic around COVID-19. So now they're going to argue that if anybody does anything in regard to stopping these from, or, you know, the idea that this is an act that could center around the concept of COVID-19. Religious significance. Opportunity for violence. But no credible threats at all. So we're just throwing out random concepts of hype that we think this is how they keep people in fear. Foreign and domestic threat actors, to include intelligence services, international terrorist groups, and domestic violent extremists, continue to introduce, amplify, and disseminate narratives online that promote violence and have called for violent acts against elected officials. So this is where you get into the reality where you've got people that say things about politicians all the time. You know, like during Trump's administration, where half the Democratic Party were calling open threats to his family and Donald Trump. But that was all okay back then because Trump sucks, right? We all hate Trump, right? I mean, facetious, obviously. I think Trump's as much of a problem as anybody else. But you see the absurd double standard there. And so what we're talking about now, though, is because, oh my gosh, they've said negative things about them. And you know what? Some of them are pretty disgusting. People calling for hanging people in positions. Like, the point is, none of that's okay. But they have a right to say whatever they want unless they're going to act on these things and actually commit a crime. But the point is that it happens both ways. And I'm not endorsing any of it. But the frustrating reality is that it's okay one way and not the other, which shows you that it's political. And this is a tool being used to remove your rights and to keep you in check and to roll out what they're trying to build. Political representatives, government facilities, law enforcement, religious communities, and commercial facilities, and perceived ideologically opposed individuals. God, it's just like, why don't we just say anything? I mean, you know, and whatever else we want to add tomorrow. It says there are also continued nonspecific calls for violence on multiple online platforms associated with DVE ideologies or conspiracy theories or perceived election fraud of alleged reinstatement and responses to anticipated restrictions related to the increase in COVID cases. That was one sentence that brought it all together in one sitting. Calls of violence online because of conspiracy theories, election fraud, responses to anticipated restrictions and increasing COVID cases, right? So every single one of them, that one sentence makes our point clearly. All those things are terrorist. You're terrorist. You don't like COVID, you're terrorist, right? You think the election was stolen, you're terrorist. You think you consider conspiracy theories, you're a terrorist. Now, obviously, it's not that cut and dry, but you realize it could be. And if you don't think that can happen, again, you're not paying attention. Look at the Patriot Act. Look at every piece of legislation ever in this country where it's very vague and intentionally so, so it can be applied how they see fit. They have warped and contorted that Patriot Act to do things you never would have expected, or maybe not ever we would have expected, but people wouldn't have said if they read it and thought that was honestly what it was going to do. All this does is give them just a broad paint. Like, they can do anything with this. I mean, how about somebody goes out to protest something for COVID lockdowns and some kind of an act takes place? Some kind of an FBI informant out there, or some kind of a plant, or some kind of God, I'm blanking on the term all of a sudden. Agent provocateur, which, by the way, if you think that's fake, again, you're choosing to ignore verifiable things that have been constantly used by the FBI and plenty of others over and over and over, including on January 6th, where there was multiple people embedded with two different militia agents, FBI, at leading them in there, as well as somebody who was part of a military psychological operations unit. Of course, just there because he was having fun, right? It's just silly that we can ignore these things. I was going to make a point right there and just lost it. Anyway, ideologically motivated violent extremists fueled by personal grievances and extremist ideological beliefs continue to derive inspiration and obtain operational guidance through consumption of information shared online. Why would you even include that? Like, the only solution to that is more government control of the internet. Obviously, that's why they're putting it there. That we can't allow bad guys to look things up on Google because, well, bad guys can make things. Right? I mean, it's just so dumb. What about the library? They could go to the library and get a book. We better close down the library and burn all the books. They're leaning into this technological age we're in and just pretend it's the same thing. It's the same thing. And all they're doing is using this to control it because they know that we're able to communicate via the internet, which we couldn't through the library, right? Very different. We're able to share information around their narratives, and that's what they're trying to stop. Law enforcement have expressed concerns that the broader sharing of false narratives and conspiracy theories will gain traction in mainstream environments, resulting in individuals or small groups embracing violent tactics to achieve their desired objectives. Oh, you mean like the U.S. government carrying out false flags in foreign countries to achieve their objectives? Yeah, maybe you're taking a page out of your own book. Maybe you're projecting a little bit. Regardless, they're literally saying that they've expressed concern. Law enforcement? Which ones? Right? A police station? The FBI? What are we talking about here? And they're just saying they've expressed concerns about just people sharing things online that we say is fake. Oh, you mean like causing blood clots from the vaccines, or causing myocarditis, or leading to Bell's palsy, or all the things that were fake until they were shown to be true? Exactly. Or how about lockdowns hurting people, which the WHO just said is the same case, but that's been censored as well. Right? Those were all false narrative conspiracy theories, and they still are in certain circles, even though they're valid and completely true. But those things can gain traction in mainstream environments. Why? Because they're true, and it's obvious when you look at the reality. But that's the point they keep making, where they go, it's just a bunch of fringe conspiracy theorists in their parents' basements. But at the same time, they're overtaking the entire medical apparatus with their fake news, and we can't allow that. So which is it? Is it possible that one person on their computer can overtake the entire medical propaganda? I mean, come on. It's obviously the truth is easier to share right now because they're not backing up what they're saying. They're screaming, trust the science, while not even showing you the science. But it says resulting in individual small groups embracing violent tactics to achieve their desired objectives. I don't even see the connection there. Right? So you share something that they say is not true. And that somehow results in them and in other people who read that suddenly just embracing violent tactics to achieve a desired objective. Tell me that's not the most disjointed thing in the world, right? They see that connected because that's the narrative. That they're trying to push the idea that false narratives and conspiracy theories lead to violent acts. But there's no real connection there. That's just cobbled together. So I share something about how the vaccine hurts somebody that they say is fake, and that somebody's going to create a group and go and attack groups because of the vaccine hurt, right? So how is that even my fault? It's not, obviously. And it's also, by the way, very true. But it's interesting how they're trying to make that the case. With a diverse array of threats, DHS, Department of Homeland Security, is concerned that increased outbreaks of violence in some locations, as well as targeted attacks against law enforcement, may strain local resources. Why? Oh, there's nothing points to that. We just think that. That's what we're supposed to say, right? Exactly. There's no evidence. They already told you that. Nothing anywhere says any of this is going to happen. So where's this detailed outline coming from? It is what they want you to think. You following? Nation-state adversaries have increased efforts to sow discord. For example, Russian. Now, here's the funny part. You think, oh, well, they're going to get into the foreign policy stuff, right? Where Russia, China are trying to undermine our democracy. Well, guess what? For example, Russian, Chinese, and Iranian government-linked media outlets have repeatedly amplified conspiracy theories concerning the origins of COVID-19, the effectiveness of vaccines, in some cases amplifying calls for violence targeting persons of Asian descent. Just all over the map. So not Russia and China, but Iran, but media outlets that they claim are linked to them. You do understand that they sometimes claim that I am somehow linked to, and I'm not. I mean, it's on its face obvious that's the case, but it's insulting to say that that's any media outlet anywhere that says things that they think is favorable to these countries. During the whole Russia, the height of the Russiagate manipulation, everybody anywhere that said anything outside the mainstream topic was a Russian shill, Russian spy working for Putin. That came out of the mouths of our politicians. You realize how stupid that is? Not that it's not possible, but to immediately reflexively say that because you think so, that's childish. Here we are again. And it's tied into COVID-19 and back to foreign policy. How we are responding. The DHS will continue to identify and evaluate calls for violence, including online activity associated with the spread of disinformation, conspiracy theories, and false narratives by known or suspected threat actors, and provide updated information as necessary. So who are the known and suspected threat actors? Does that apply to independent media that they claim are spreading disinformation and conspiracy theories? You betcha. Absolutely. So now when you go out and you say something that you can back up with peer-reviewed science, but they claim is fake news, now suddenly you're on a list of suspected threat actors and they'll continue to update as necessary. DHL, of course, just report suspicious activity, right? If you see something, say something. That's always the case, right? Tell on your neighbors. The DHS is also advancing authoritative sources of information to debunk and, when possible, preempt false narratives and intentional disinformation, and provide educational materials to promote resilience to the risks associated with interacting. Oh, maybe not. And you say resilience to the risks associated with interacting with and spreading disinformation, conspiracy theories, and false narratives. So you're telling me the DHS, which is responsible for some of the most openly manipulative narratives, fake news, everything, propaganda since its creation, is now telling you that they're going to put out their own information to preempt the false information? Do you realize the DHS has been caught? Even going back to the 2016 election, the DHS was caught hacking individual locations. Like, this is so ridiculous that these people are the problem. If you care about what's actually going on in this country, these kind of groups are the problem. They are leading you full speed ahead toward the technocratic Great Reset future. That's what's happening. And they're using this crossover to achieve that, to quiet dissent, to stifle actual information, whether about foreign policy or COVID-19 or anything else, because this is a global movement. Now it says, while protecting the privacy, civil rights, and civil liberties of all persons, right? It's like, this is the point that I always make. It's like, okay, we're going to literally remove every right you've ever had while protecting privacy and civil rights. Does that make sense? Of course not. But this is just how they end their sentences, to be like, you know, we're going to do all these things that are obviously taking away your rights and obviously unconstitutional and obviously bad for everything you ever thought was what you're, but we're going to, while we're doing that, we're going to make sure we protect your privacy and your civil rights. It's just silly. And you know what? All the childish believers in the two-party illusion will read that and go, whew, oh, good. Okay, then. They said they would protect our rights, and so they're going to protect our rights. Oh, good. Ignorance everywhere. This is coming your way, guys. In Homeland Security, the DHS, this is the biosecurity state being active. I mean, well, it's already there, but this is the crossover that we kept telling you was going to happen. And as somebody points out, imagine if Trump's DHS, when he was in the president, declared everyone who said not my president to be a terror threat. Right? I mean, let's not pretend like there weren't. That was the point they made before. There was a waterfall of actually very famous people threatening Trump's son, threatening to hang him. What about that? What's that one redhead actress that I absolutely can't stand with the crazy voice that's just terribly disgusting? She was the one talking about hanging him. She had that fake head of Donald Trump. I mean, come on, guys. I'm not saying either one of these sides are acceptable. The reality, though, is you have a right to say what you want in a free country. We tell ourselves. But imagine if Trump had done that. Anyone saying not my president is now a terror threat. They would have lost their minds. Now, please don't take this as a two-party discussion. The point of this point, the reality here, this person's making this from a two-party perspective. My point is this is meant to divide you. It's meant to point out what the reality is. It's always happening. Whoever's in charge on all sides, it's always leading in this direction. Trump handed the baton off. Trump created the biosecurity state and handed it over to Biden's administration. Guys, we're watching it. This wouldn't be possible now if Trump hadn't done everything he did, including beginning the state of emergency, which allows the emergency authorization for the vaccines and everything else going forward. But this is a good point. It's obviously ridiculous to make people out who are saying that this is illegal fraud election that shouldn't have happened out to be a terrorist, right? Saying that Trump is working for Putin, right? I mean, like, it's embarrassing how one-sided these things are. And Tim Young points out the idea, just again, that, you know, what's happening with this clip we just played. But interesting that he makes this point at the end. Protesting your school board's mask mandates equal terror threat. Why is it exactly that a very small, you know, a sub-county of or sub-location and then a sub-county of that location in Tennessee, Williamson County, makes national news and everybody's talking about it? Because it leads to where we are today, where they're pointing to that and saying they're threatening people, they're going after journalists, it's going to happen. And that the sentence, "We're coming for you," came out of that person's mouth who works for Fox News. I was there. Now, yes, again, like I said, he followed it with politically, but that didn't stop everybody from using it that exact same way, even there while it spread. And that they know how these things work. People are riled up. Now, I'm not saying anything about Tim Young. I'm just saying it's interesting that this is, everybody's talking about this. Now, if you're interested in more discussions of this exact topic that Whitney and I have had, going all the way back to the election from 2020, where we literally called exactly what this is what was happening based on what Ms. Newman said, that we see a 9/11 threat coming and we just don't know how to stop it. And guess what her point was during that whole discussion? Your rights are getting in her way. I'm not even kidding. She made it very clear that your rights are a hindrance to her stopping people. Why? Because people are out there not actually breaking the rules. They're not actually breaking the law. And she's going, well, it's because they've learned how to operate just under the radar. Well, then shut up about it, because they're not breaking the law. That's all that matters. And you don't get to go, oh, well, I think I know what wink, wink they're actually saying. And that's what I kept saying in the beginning of all this. Right? Or even talking about people like talking about the Israeli discussion, where we point out the crimes of the Israeli government. And they go, oh, wink, wink, I know who you're talking about. No, you don't, because I'm talking about the Israeli government. Right? The idea is that people like to insinuate and guess, oh, I get what he's saying. I'm saying what I'm saying. What she was telling you is that underneath this, we need to be able to arrest people whether or not they're breaking the law, because we think they will. That is medical pre-crime. That is pre-crime. That is everything we've been telling you was coming. Now, Whitney and I discussed this in the opening act of a new war on domestic terror. Right? You realize we talked about that on January 7th, 2021. Way ahead of the curve. And quite honestly, because of Whitney's research. Election special part 3. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, that's weird. Why is that beneath it? Anyway. I'm sorry. This was, here, I'm actually going to refresh this because this will have the new article in it too, because I added this to the tab. So here's the one we're talking about today, because I do think this is sort of a follow-up to where we're talking about. This was a follow-up in regard, this is an article Whitney wrote, I believe. Oh no, this was another interview we had. That's good. Where we talk about this exact thing. But watch this election special going back to November 1st, 2020, where there's three parts. How the bipartisan swamp is engineering election chaos in Philadelphia. How a cyber 9/11 will usher in the AI internet security state. And election special pre-planned 2020 election chaos and the new 9/11. Now, remember when this happened, like a week afterward, people were calling and going, you guys missed the mark. That was wrong. Nothing happened. Okay. You feel different now, right? I'm sure you do. Now, the point is not to say that we knew it would take this long or that this is what we said would happen, but the reality is that is exactly, Whitney nailed this exactly. This is what I believe was always planned. And the idea of election chaos, whether happening around 2020 or because Trump, because that's what we're staring at, it's still pointing to January 6th and the so-called insurrection and how the election and the challenging of the election, this is the same thing. The new 9/11, the whole conversation. This is what she predicted back on October 28th, guys. And here we are. Right in front of us. And now they're using this to drive in the new biosecurity state. Now, it's also this discussion. I talked about this. I believe Whitney might have been on this. I can't remember exactly. Now, I know there's a lot more shows that we did on this topic. I wasn't able to find them. There's so many we've discussed. But this, I discussed the domestic terrorism COVID crossover. This is exactly where we are now. This was on June 1st. This is when I told you that this was going to cross over from not just COVID or not just the cyber pandemic or domestic terrorism. It was all going to be lumped together. Here we are. Very important to understand where this is going. Now, on the discussion of the, you know, just general lies and manipulations of this overall topic, realize that they're over here telling you that people that resist, right? People that challenge the vaccine, the mandates and the restrictions are terror. Okay. What about Obama's party? I love this little meme somebody made. Stand with the Obamas and resist mask mandates and larger gatherings restrictions. Cause clearly they don't stand with that. But ask yourself why then it was okay for them to all be at this party. Nobody wearing masks, everybody not distancing. Well, again, I'm not arguing they needed to. But it's pretty damn hypocritical when they're forcing your children to do it, whether or not they're injected, while they're not doing it. How is that even remotely acceptable? Of course, the argument, well, they're all vaccinated. They all got tested. Okay, well, that doesn't even matter anymore. Because if you're forcing children to do it, who are at the least risk of anybody on the planet, even though people have been injected, what are we talking about? You're forcing mask mandates on adults who are inside, which is what this is, or even in, whether or not inside with large gatherings. All those of what the CDC has stated before this took place. And here they are. This is just a still shot, but you can find videos. I mean, they're all dancing and loving and having a good time. You know, while your grandma can't leave her house, or people can't stand with them while they're dying, while people are being forced on masks, while people are being arrested for not doing what they're supposed to, while people are being forced quarantined in Australia in their own homes. But yeah, yuck it up there, Obama, and have a great time, because the elitists can do what they want. Somebody in the comments, I don't know if this is true, somebody's saying 74 people infected at his party. Maybe that was the point. Maybe that's the whole reason. Now, that's not even the point. And how much you want to bet? They were all injected. I can almost promise you that. Nobody was even allowed in there without being injected. And 74, as this person is saying in the chat, oh, that's a reborn hate thought hate. That would clearly show you what we keep telling you about the breakthrough cases. Now, going more into the illusion of COVID-19 specifically. Now, remember, these are all things that are making me a terrorist because I'm pointing out things that challenge the narrative or challenge the restrictions or whatever, or just the fact that I don't like the government. Suddenly now I'm a terrorist and I'm a threat, right? Well, this woman is saying, I'll read you first, is I'm so tired of people who are creating their own reality where COVID is not a problem. And then they have the audacity to get mad at people like me when we try and show them that, no, this is real, says one nurse as 7 out of 10 ICU beds are now full in Tennessee. It's quite interesting. Why is Tennessee suddenly this huge focal point? Something's interesting about that to me. Now, on that note, oh no, did I think I had it up over? I think I have it down the line. I won't jump ahead. So, the interesting part about this, let's see if you can hear it well.
Who are creating their own reality where COVID is not a problem, and then they have the audacity to get mad at people like me.
Well, first of all, creating our own reality where COVID is not a problem. So the Oxford calculator says that under 50, your risk is 0.000008, something like that. 19 was 1 in a million. But we're making this not real, right? So if you're not at risk unless you're already sick, who's actually making this not real? But let's get to the point.
We try and show them that, no, this is real. I'm talking about the people who actively spread this mis and disinformation. I'm talking about the people who, even when they have a loved one in the hospital with COVID. You know, they're like, you're not going to give her that vaccine, though, are you? Like, no, we're a little bit past that, but it may have helped her in the first place.
Okay. Now, the point is, I think we get to... I think she said it at the beginning. So the point is, guys, she says 7 out of 10 bets, right? So she's screaming about how this is dangerous. And, you know, I'm not even trying to diminish it. She probably believes this. She believes that this is a serious, terrible, oh my gosh. But the statistic she's giving is that 7 out of 10 beds are full. Or rather, excuse me, that CBS is giving to make the point. So look at how overwhelmed they are. They've got 7 out of 10 beds full. Can't you guys, don't you have any respect for the reality? Well, so she's saying, what she's saying is that the ICU is at normal capacity. Okay. Quote, over 3 year studies, total ICU occupancy ranged from 57.4% to 82.1%. Right. 7 out of 10 is 70%. So if it ranged between that and puts it 70 pretty much smack in the center, 60 to 80, it's pretty much exactly in the middle. That is literally normal. That is like the average of all the normal 3 years. I'll actually bring this open so you can look. I looked at this earlier. So the point is that that's normal capacity. So what are we talking about? Here's another point somebody adds. 7 out of 10 unused ICU beds is actually below average utilization. That much unused capacity costs a hospital a bundle. But here we are. So are they overwhelmed and everything's going out of control to the point to where she has to cry and make a video? Or are they at the exact normal average capacity that they were last year and the year before and the year before? Pretty interesting, isn't it? Now, I'm not saying that she's not dealing with things that make her overwhelmed, but the point is that if they're still pushing this overwhelmed hospital idea, creating their own reality when people are literally not at risk based on the calculators or based on the data that they're giving you from the CDC, from Oxford, from everybody, who's actually creating their own reality here? And I feel bad for people like this that actually believe that they're in danger, which I'm going to jump ahead real quickly to a point like this. This person says, I've worked so hard to stay alive, a woman with multiple sclerosis ready to get the third dose of the vaccine. Now, I'm not going to read into the point of this article is this woman is terrified. Now, is she at risk? Maybe. But just because she's got multiple sclerosis, and by the way, she's at risk, in my opinion, in addition to that, because she took two doses, which, by the way, all the research that we talked about, all the scientific studies from Israel and plenty of other places are showing you. And the doctor just commented at that Mount Vernon discussion. I've made that point many times. Even U.S. peer-reviewed studies have shown that you increase your risk. You increase your risk if you've taken this after having the natural infection. Either way, the point is she's saying she's going to get a third dose. People who are not at risk are terrified to the point that she's working hard to stay alive. And it's like, okay, it just kind of seems like this is happening because of the propaganda, because of the mainstream hyper-vigilant fear-mongering, just constant fear. Oh my God, we had 2 new cases today. And it's like, okay, so 2, okay. Like we just talked about in Australia. Was it Kerbara? I forget the name of the town or the area. It was shut down for like some. I've seen multiple reporting going from 1 to 4 cases. Either way, we're talking about under 5 cases, and you lock down again. Not even deaths, understand? Because deaths are 0. That is creating your own reality. All we're doing is pointing to the data, but they call us fake news. Now, to wrap this up, this is the final point in regard to vaccine efficacy and showing you a great point that was made by Real Climate Science, friend of the show, on Super U as well. Vaccine efficacy in Israel. Now, what's interesting about this, we've already shown you this topic about Israel, but here's something he pointed out, something that I actually failed to look for because I had actually assumed that Palestine wouldn't even be represented on these things because that's what's happened a lot in the past. But we have seen kind of an interesting shift lately. So what do you know? Turns out that Palestine is actually represented on these statistics. But as he says, Israel has one of the highest vaccination rates in the world. Oh, on that note, by the way, I keep accidentally saying 90% in Israel, and that's in regard to the adult population, I believe. And I think that was more like an 80-something. But that's my fault for just kind of off the cuff throwing that out there. But regardless, it's one of the most vaccinated countries in the world. And I believe it's something like a high, almost 70% of the entire population. But either way, it's reaching herd immunity based on their own statistics and their own argument. But I wanted to make that clear because I've said that never while pointing to it on something like this, but I said it in passing. But it's in the same way that the U.S. government was pretending that, you know, 70% of the country was, you know, adults. But anyway, the point was one of the highest vaccination rates in the world and cases are skyrocketing. By the way, deaths are going up higher there in Israel than most other places too, which is probably because most of them are vaccinated. This is Palestine has one of the lowest vaccination rates in the world. And what do you know? Far fewer cases. Isn't that telling? Now, you should check out his website. He does a great job breaking down real climate science, by the way, and not partisan, just simply looking at the data and showing you how they're using political, you know, how politics is driving that conversation. Not that there's not things that people are doing to the planet. Not that we're not, you know, I've talked about the Anthropocene more than once, what they call the sixth extinction, which, by the way, we're already in. I wrote an article about that like 5 years ago. It's just crazy how we're like, there are species going extinct at an unprecedented rate. Yeah, a lot of them are really small or microscopic, but the point is it's more than ever before. And we're just acting like nothing's going on. It's funny to me, sad in a macabre sort of way. But the reality is, of course we're hurting the planet. Of course we're doing bad things that we shouldn't be doing. How about masks that are clogging everything up? They pointed out in July 2020 that the masks and gloves were a catastrophic environmental problem that we're going that we needed to get on right away, and nobody did anything, and we're well into the next mask mandate. So all the people screaming about climate change and hurting the planet are the ones using 17 masks a day, right? Totally makes sense. Anyway, the point is, check out his website. But to display his point, here is the actual data about Israel in general and Palestine. But here's what the point he was making. Now, here's what I find really interesting. First of all, that this is even on here. That's just fantastic. Because obviously there is a state of Palestine, but Israel wouldn't want you to think that. But here's Israel. Okay, here's Israel, and they're skyrocketing cases, 7,000 in the last, on August 10th. And interestingly, their deaths are, you know, much, much lower because the Delta variant is not as dangerous, but it's going up more than most. But interestingly, this is to what you want to compare right now. And remember, as always, PCR, grain of salt. Here's Palestine. Dramatically, they've actively kept the injections from them. And just like I keep telling you, it was a blessing in disguise. And yes, it was. So explain for everybody how in the world it can be a fraction of the cases in Palestine when they're just being completely ignored in this whole process, dramatically less vaccination. And yet Israel can have almost the majority of the population injected, and yet they have far more cases. Right? These are these inconvenient things that they just don't want people to consider. So thank you, Real Climate Science, for pointing that out. And this is a little, you know, meme somebody made that just breaks down this data, which, you know, it's, again, correlation is not always causation. Their point is to point, people are making correlation out to always be coincidence, which, you know, it's kind of the same. You'll have to consider that correlation could just be coincidence. That is always a possibility. Correlation is not causation, but it can be. But in this case, I think it's pretty obvious that this is what we're seeing. Over here, you got daily COVID-19 vaccine doses administered per 100 people. There's your graph up to August 8th. Okay, mosey on over here. Daily new COVID-19 deaths per million people. Well, look at that. It's almost exactly the same. I mean, you just can't ignore something like that. You know, you can't walk away going, proof! But when taken in conjunction with everything else we've talked about, pretty damn close. But nobody wants to talk about that. Health officials say 10 fully vaccinated people in Oregon died of COVID-19 in July. Guess what? More than previously reported. Guess what? We're going to start seeing a lot more of that, in my opinion. And it's going to be, I think that's why they're so desperate, I said the other day, to wipe out the unvaccinated in the country, because that's the control group right now, right? In any experiment, you've got a control group. And they got rid of that real quick in their supposed safety and efficacy trials that went on a couple months, right? Because they thought, we have a moral imperative to give them the injection. Well, you gave the injection to the people that were supposed to be the control group, and now we don't know the contrast. So you'll never be able to really point out how severe it was. But we have an entire half of the country right now, they're supposedly being injected, and the other half not. And if that goes on long enough, there's going to be no way you can ignore that reality. And I think that's what's happening. And we're going to see more of this. Because the data around the world is showing you pretty clearly, as I keep saying, and not even to try to make it like a tit for tat kind of a thing. The data is showing you this is a pandemic of the injected. they just don't want you to see that. And this is what we're going up against, right? So this person says, at the very least, stop the useless old vaccination. And this is because somebody's pointing. Oh, I'm going to get to that next, actually. Oh, maybe we'll just do it that way then. So here is somebody pointing out information from Vermont saying, just data from my state, which, by the way, is 84% injected. Okay, so it's comparing to 2020 to 2021, essentially, the same date from August 5th to August 12th. Hospitalizations, cases up a bunch, even though the injected, right? So look at the numbers. 38 cases, August 5th, August 12th, 561. Now, that doesn't necessarily prove anything, because you could just argue it's more prevalent today or whatever you want to say. But the point is, if you've got 84% injected, how do you explain that? I thought that was supposed to be far more than herd immunity, right? Because their narrative is, well, the next state over doesn't have herd immunity. So now it's going to spread over with a variant. But you see, that's not valid, because that's the same reason that even if we have 100% in this country, that the South African variant could just hop over and then we got to start all over again. That is a recipe for it to never end, which is the point. But how you do get it to end is by removing the vaccine from the injection from the conversation. As the science has shown you, the scientific research, more than one from before all of this, is that being in the mix and allowing transmission, which it is what creates these variants. But if people were all to catch it and recover, there you go. It's done. It still circulates, because it always does. But you have antibodies, the variants aren't being created. And if it is, it's going to be way down the line. But this person hops in and says something which I think he believes is challenging what he's saying, but it kind of isn't, though. What he's pointing out here is, well, here was the first injections, and way up here is when they reached 80%. Clearly, you can see how well the injections were helping, right? Look, if their argument is, and this is over a long period of time, right? This is the beginning of 2021. This is up here in the middle of the, and that's April, March, or even further. So 6 months. So you're telling me over the process of 6 months, you're not even going to see a dip in that. And then the moment that you, I mean, and they point out that the Delta variant, it goes back up, right? This doesn't show what I think he thinks it shows. This shows you the injections having literally no effect on any of this stuff. It's interesting. But he also points out here, you're ignoring the meteoric rise there, buddy, after where you put the red circle and other more on. That's his opinion. But going forward, this person points out, no, they asked the question after this, and what do the deaths look like? Yes, good point. This person says, way effing worse. Same guy. I don't understand that. How is that you can argue that the deaths are worse when you're making, maybe he's pointing this out and he thinks it's showing something other than what he thinks it's showing, right? But the point here is, I said, no, they aren't. Do you feel good spreading medical misinformation, or are you just blindly trusting the mainstream media? Because here are the deaths. And that's, look, that's two. That's one death. And then nothing for days and days, and one death. That's it. So why is he saying way worse? I don't understand it. People are just blindly even people that are, it doesn't make sense to me. It's happening everywhere. And then this next point, what I was going to show you next, is somebody says, well, at the very least, stop the injection because it's not working. And this guy makes a point and says, if it's useless, how do you explain this? Boom. Right? There you go. That's a conversation. It's over. Okay, well, where is that coming from? Is there a source link? Is it from your computer? I mean, like, the point is that this is what we're seeing. People just are sharing sourceless images as fact. Like, maybe this is from somewhere, or, you know, how about you find out this is from one specific location in one state in one area? You know what I mean? Context matters. And by the way, this is specifically severe cases in over 60. Okay. So it's just really funny that this is pulled out of one small thing I guess he forgot to crop out that top part, but it's just kind of like, boom, he's like, drop mic dropping. It's just, and this guy responds, right? These data are randomly generated by your PC. I mean, it's just people are throwing stuff out there because it supports what they believe. Nobody's doing their own due diligence anymore. They look at a thing and they go, I knew it, because it aligns with what I thought. But not you guys, because you in this chat, you know, and I say, a lot of people say this, but I truly believe we have one of the most intelligent communities out there, because we're constantly challenging everybody to be better, including ourselves, being objective, questioning things and even things we think we believe in. And yeah, there are some people in our community that still give me a hard time for doing that. Hopefully they'll come around to realize that there's, you know, there's a valid reason to do so. And I will admit that sometimes that can be detrimental, right? But I would actively, every single day, rather err on the side of being too objective and missing things than being not objective enough and putting out false information. That's how I feel. It's important. But lastly, I want to play this clip to you, for you, about this. Now, there's, I think, one or two things she says that I don't necessarily agree with, but I want you to take the larger point about how, one, she's being forced to lose her job because she won't be injected as a healthcare worker, and how she makes a really valid point about how they were so dramatically understaffed during the, you know, remember, we weren't talking about hospitals here where they were being new patients in all, you know, this, where she's at a place where they had people that were there, and they were dealing with it during COVID-19, and they were so dramatically understaffed that they, well, I'll let her explain it, but now they're going to get rid of people and that's going to help the situation. So it's a very valid point to make. Doesn't look like I downloaded it. We'll play it right here. I hope it's loud enough.
Now, I've recently got a letter through from a care company that I used to work for, or I work for, that has now sent me a letter saying that because I won't get vaccinated, that they're going to terminate my employment. Now, I'm not being funny, but I've worked in care homes where we've had days where we are so short on staff that we have had to go in and go, right, we will change your pads, we will make you comfortable, and we will serve you food, but we do not have the staff or the time to get you out of bed because we're so short-staffed. We, like, these residents in all these care homes are basically being abused with the amount of neglect due to staff shortages.
And that's everywhere. Just on a personal note, my grandmother would probably be dead right now if she was left in the care, in the supposed, you know, care home is not even an appropriate term, in this disgusting cesspool of just incompetence and just unsanitary practices in Idaho or elsewhere or in Tennessee. If she was still there, she'd be dead today. I can promise you that, because how many people we know or she knew that died because of the way they treated them, or because of the way they didn't do what they were supposed to, or because of the way that they acted. They tested everybody for COVID and put them on ventilators. And, I mean, guys, they killed these people. That's what happened in New York. That's what happened everywhere. Now they just got rid of Cuomo, got him out of the way, didn't they? Because he was a huge culprit in that whole thing. New York had like 40% of the deaths in this entire system in the peak during the problem in 2020. And that we're going to pretend like that can just be averaged out around the country? There's so many problems like that. But she's right. And this is a disgusting scenario long before COVID-19. These care homes are disgusting. Some of them are probably okay, but in my experience, I've never even seen one like that. They're cutting corners. The people working there, they abuse people. They steal medications. I mean, and this is what I've seen in every single one. We went through a lot of them trying to find a good place when that was what we had to do for her. And that's, by the way, one of the reasons why, you know, just that she's living with us now. And thank God, you know, and I would happily take time out of my day every day to help make sure that that was something that everybody could be doing. But not everybody can.
And now they're sacking people because they refuse to get vaccinated. I just don't see how that's possible, because what's worse, being even shorter staffed, or the risk of bringing COVID into the home.
Now, I argue that, not to frame it that way, because people who are just completely hyped up on the dangers, the insurmountable, you know, biggest pandemic of a century kind of a thing, they're going to be like, of course, it's the other way. But don't think of it like that. Think about it in the concept of, you are in a situation where these people are already getting poor care, and you're going to remove people from the situation who, one, might have natural immunity, or as she's about to point out, might be willing to do something different at a time when you don't have enough people. And that's supposed to be a better scenario, keeping them safe. I mean, obviously there's other ways around this. You could have people work in different situations and not actually deal with it. The bottom line is, it's about compliance, and that's it. And they don't care about the consequences.
They're all vaccinated anyway. It's now estimated.
Oh, and that's the point she makes too. They're all vaccinated anyway. So how is she putting them at risk? That's right. Because it's all about all encompassing everybody all the time. And the thing that's safe and effective, and if it's outweigh the risk, it's not even helping them unless this one person does it too. Totally makes sense.
That there's going to be about 40,000 people that are going to be let go from care homes. because of these cutbacks, because of these precautions they're taking about with people that are refusing to get vaccinated or not, or declining to get vaccinated. I don't want to get vaccinated. It's still in clinical trial. I don't want it yet. In like a few years when it's actually past trials, I will get it, but I am not getting it. And now because I'm being forced to get it, I will not be getting it anyway. I'm not being funny.
So good for her for taking a principled stance, right? I mean, even though she's kind of like, well, I get it, but the simple point that they're making her do it, it just shows you that she has, you know, she's a, you know, a little libertarian in there, right? She's like, you know, we're going to stand our ground because you can't, whether I want it or not, you can't force me to do something, right? Good for her.
I've got my NVQ free in care, so I don't understand how I've done that qualification and I'm still on minimum wage when I'm qualified. Not, I could get a job at Aldi for £10 an hour stacking shelves, whereas in care, I'm expected to do CPR and first aid and have these people's lives in my own hands for £8.70 an hour. It's just not applicable.
That's
anymore.
Crazy.
It's not about person-centered care anymore. It's about money. It's not looking after the elderly. It's a money-making business. And that's just not something I want to be a part of. I started working in care because I care about the elderly. I genuinely enjoy looking after old people. And like, what has it come to? What is this all coming to?
Right. I mean, it's just very sad that we're talking about a situation where they've just become a dollar sign. And that's what everything else in this country is all about in a lot of places in the world. Right. I mean, it looks like something like a Native American culture. You know, my grandmother was Menominee Indian. And the idea is that, you know, the concept is there's a level of respect because they've lived through everything. They know things that you couldn't possibly know, right? That they are the wealth of knowledge that you should embrace. They should be, you know, like you look at these, the elders, right? But today they're a nuisance. They're a burden. We kick them off to the side and get them out of the way so we can live our lives. That's disgusting. That speaks volumes about where our society has gone. And what she's talking about is the idea that she's not even being paid for the job. You can make more money stacking shelves. So that's why you get these terrible people that take the job because they know they can get away with things. They can steal opioids and all this other stuff. That is what you end up with. You think that's an accident? Makes me sad. Now I want to finish off with a couple of memes that people shared that I thought were kind of on point for what we're dealing with today. This person points out, my position is we must make the lives of the unvaccinated a total misery and just keep escalating the exclusions until we crush the resistance and break their spirit in order to force compliance and so they learn not to resist government mandates. God, that's disgusting, right? These are people that are acting like we're the crazy ones and that our pesky freedoms and constitution are getting in the way. This is everywhere. Like that nurse going, F your freedom, F your constitution. Like, seriously? You mean those things that are currently creating the world, which you think you're allowed to, that you, like the world that you live in, right? These ideas, these inherent ideas that are like these principles or foundational concepts that you probably imbibe every single day, right? Because you don't like how they're being used because of those Trump supporters that you're, this is how ignorant people are, just able to be completely socially engineered by some really feeble propaganda. This exactly is what we were telling you was going to happen, and exactly what they said is the craziest conspiracy. We're never going to make you wear a mask or make you take a shot. We're never going to make you lock down. Remember all that? They're never going to make you do that. You're so crazy. Those same people are the ones going, how dare they say no, those crazy conspiracy theorists? We were conspiracy theorists when we said it was going to happen. We're conspiracy theorists now while we're refusing what we said was going to happen. You really can't miss how obvious that is. And as George Takei points out, Star responds, the willfully unvaccinated who wind up in hospitals from COVID should not receive priority medical care. Great. So because of somebody's personal choice, this terrible person believes that they should not be given the same care. Now they're a secondary citizen, right? You'd think somebody who is a minority would understand how that seems to be wildly hypocritical, right? But they don't care about that, right? Of course, it's always one-sided and about how it applies to their politics, right? He's a homosexual man, so he's oppressed, but not you. He gets to decide who's oppressed. right? You realize this is so disgustingly hypocritical in every possible way that they don't like your choice and they're going to act like that one's not going to happen. We're creating one of the most oppressed categories. I mean, it's so obvious how these people are being created as secondary citizens. You can't do this. You can't do that. You're not allowed to buy this. You can't go in this room. Only if you've got this certain sticker or patch or digital ID. This is crazy. And as he goes on to say, he says they should not receive priority medical care over other very sick or injured people who are in much urgent need of medical care. So if you're in a position where you're struggling for whatever reason and haven't gotten the shot, what about if you're immunocompromised? What if you have natural immunity? Apparently, Takai doesn't care about any of that. You just don't have that dangerous shot and you're in the hospital, right? And you're having, I don't know, it's just a broken leg. Well, somebody over here with the same situation, he's going to say, no, go to them first because that terrible person didn't get the injection. Doesn't matter that you have a valid reason or a religious exemption or any number of things that should apply because they have been completely hyped up on the idea of the virtue of this and there's no sidestepping it. That is a mindless follower who thinks he's smart. Somebody who thinks they're in the know who literally just seems to know nothing. Same like with the Don Lemons and the, you know, whatever, just somebody from Fox and somebody from CNN. All the people out there are really not as intelligent as they want you to think they are. And as Star says, I've mistaken you for intelligent. I was wrong. Exactly. Well, finally, if you have to be persuaded and reminded and pressured and lied to and incentivized and coerced and bullied and socially shamed and guilt-tripped and threatened and punished and criminalized, if all of this is considered necessary to gain your compliance, you can be absolutely certain that what is being promoted is not in your best interest. It's a pretty good way to put that. Well, thanks for tuning in today, guys. I appreciate you being here. Always important information. And this it's, as I keep saying, it's never been this obvious to me. I can't believe this is still happening with everything that's in front of us. It's, you know, it's almost, it's comical because of how, you know, it's like when they come out and they say, trust women. And then it's like the literal next day, they're doing something that counteracts that exact topic. They're coming out, trust the science. And now they're just like, don't look at it, but pretend we're the science, right? Trust what we say and pretend that's trusting the science. It's just embarrassing. I mean, they must know how clumsy this all is. We're going to keep fighting. I promise you that they are going to pretend what we're doing is some kind of a violent act or something like that. And we're going to stick to our guns, guys, because what we're doing is protected under the Constitution. What we're doing is based on peer-reviewed scientific research and me giving my opinion around it, which I have a right to do and which you have a right to listen to. We're going to keep going because we are fighting for our very humanity. As Corbett put it, we're fighting for the future of our society. And I don't know about you, but I'd like to have a choice in that. So I love you guys. Thank you for being here. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.